back, episode 23, Underground Espionage. Tara, how is it going?
It's great. It's going great, Mike.
You were looking around.
I was looking around. I dropped something on the floor.
Yeah. So it's just like we're here.
Yeah, here we are. I ate a star fruit this week.
Yes, that would be
update.
So, do you got any info on the star fruit? Is there?
It's a little underripe. It's a little sour. I cut half of it up and I let the other half in the fridge. And now, I'm just wondering what it's like to just like chomp into one, because I've only ever had it sliced.
Right.
And most people slice it because they look like little stars and they're so cute. But I'm just wondering what it's like to just grab one and gnaw on it, you know. So
yeah, I had a little bit. I think passion fruit has been our favorite discovery, and I don't think anything's going to top it. But I'm enjoying the journey.
Discovery. Yeah. The pepino melon was exciting. Like, yeah, it's, you know, we're just little by little, like, wandering into the world of fruits.
Of just strange, you know, strange
fruits. Exotic fruits. It's been great. I've been in, it's been a wonderful new pastime.
Yeah. Been on some adventures, but here we are. You know, I feel, you know, knock on everything. I far more
unscathed.
Risked being scathed today, but came out clean.
Well, I mean, look, it was a
little hot right now with that AC off. I'll tell you that.
It's pretty warm.
Might have to go on.
So to tell the tale, like, you know, there was this little window where we were able to, like, just kind of have some days off, right? Not without obligations. Not, like, full, you know, still doing stuff. Still doing this.
Always doing stuff.
But, like,
never stop.
A rare window where we didn't have, like, plans, obligations, destinations. So we wanted to take
basically
advantage of it.
In our retirement from going to gigs, you know, celebrating
in
that.
Our retirement. So, yes, being officially retired from going to gigs. So we had
not
the beach,
which obviously Hospital Fest does not count. That is
not
a gig.
That's a
that
show.
Is an event
it's
that
an
we
event.
Cannot wait
yeah,
for.
True.
Make sure
it's a cultural
everybody
touchstone. You
gotta
get go
those tickets.
So so then we were discussing going to the beach or doing something coastal, and then that tsunami thing came up, that 8.8 magnitude earthquake that made the coastline a little hairy, and you know, people are saying it wasn't a nothing burger. There were things that rose like 3 feet, and like, yeah, that's a lot. But I am afraid of. I treat the ocean respectfully.
Absolutely,
I know
the
ocean
dark and twisted menace,
full of primal energy and potency that can kill me in just a second. Right? I can't. Hey, look, Theo Huxtable found out about the ocean. Right?
Hey,
it's
man,
terrible, and it's a terrible thing that can happen. And so I have a lot of respect for it, and I don't fuck around with it. And rogue waves really scare me.
So instead, we decided
to
stay inland
and
have
I didn't want to have to deal with a rogue wave. Yeah,
have some beverages.
So
and
we went to a cocktail bar.
Yeah, and you know what?
A couple
came out unscathed. Had a great night of listening to stuff and playing Gin Rummy, the game. That you, as I stated, you always have to remind me how to play it.
Yeah, we did. So
is that what we played, Gin Rummy, or did we play?
We played a lot of games. We played a lot
we
of played, card
we
games.
We did some cards.
So
we're
went
beefing
to
up for whenever we are in a position that we need to know how to play a card game.
Should I dox our new favorite place that we like to go, or no?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm not going to tell anybody our new favorite place
no
that
doxing.
We go to.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say the name of that place. So we went to that place, had a great time, had a wonderful conversation with the Uber driver on the way home.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Then we went back to the Cantina Vilita and then had some margaritas there and then came home and decided to play cards. So so we played blackjack for a while. I'm the dealer. Then we played poker and then we played gin because you said you wanted to play gin, but there is a difference between gin and gin rummy.
Okay, right. Yeah.
So then I decided in our, you know, inebriated state, it might be more simple to just play rummy.
The one that we always play.
So that's what we played. Yes.
But you always have to remind me how to play it.
And then we played War because that seemed to be the least complicated of all cards.
But
games.
It was good. It was good. I'm excited to talk about our movie today, Mystics in Bali, which a friend sent you a clip. I think just wondering if you like, this seems like something you've seen, right?
Yeah, she just sent it like, oh, this is wild. And then we were like, you know what? Let's watch it right now. Classic, that sounds great.
Classic, very, very strange, great Indonesian film. So I was excited to watch that and talk about that. So looking forward to that being our feature film of the day. We'll say here up top, not sure if we'll have an episode next week. We are doing a bit of traveling. We might.
Yeah.
But we
are we gonna say where we're going?
I mean, we're just visiting family, isn't it? Like that. True. Yeah. So but so possibly won't have one next week, but we
possibly
also
might. Will.
Just letting you know.
Traveling across the old country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Tara, what do you got? You got any Terra news for us? What do you got?
There's like a new... Okay, yeah, this is Terra news. I mean, I am excited about... I'm not excited about this. This would be a fun job. Maybe just in my mind, it would be a fun job. I was reading about a woman showing off this framed piece of art, but that's not art. That's her husband's tattoo, and he's dead. And after he passed away,
cut it off.
They cut that off, and then they preserved the skin and they stuck it in a frame. And I'm saying, given the popularity of tattoos, this seems like it would be a very solid work. You know what I mean? A very solid profession right now. See, I'm not totally unscathed. My brain's a little hazy.
Your brain's always a little hazy, Tara.
Well, I'm a little scatterbrained. Well, I'm not scatterbrained. It's just like there's a lot going on. I'm excited about a lot of things. I'm thinking about, you know, how am I gonna get into this? How am I gonna ape into this new profession?
Just slicing off of skin reminds me of we also watched one of the Rex Heuerman docs, and there's a thing where he scratched off someone's tattoos.
Oh yes, he scraped off their tattoos.
That just made me think of it.
Yeah, because in Rex Heuerman, he had his
Long Island serial killer.
He had his handbook that he was writing about how you don't leave any evidence, and dismemberment. Scraping of tattoos, all the things of this nature.
So maybe you can team up with Rex.
Yeah, I could team up with Rex. Well, no, but Rex did the opposite. Like, I would need to slice the skin off and then preserve the skin. This would be more like of a Gein thing.
Maybe
you
could
show
him. Maybe he's down to, you know, flip it up.
But I would imagine that this will be something that's popular. But I'm intrigued by the process. I was also
very strange to have like a framed piece of skin. I mean, I got.
I love it.
I'm not. Oh no, I'm not. I'm not opposed to it.
Well, I mean, but this is kind of the thing. Like,
I'd like your like thigh meat, but yeah, I would just want to eat it.
Yeah, I know. You would just eat it right away. We all know that. But the thing that this sparked my imagination about this whole new what would you call it? I keep saying profession, but it's like a mode of making money. New trade. There we go. Thank God. Oh Jesus, that word was hard. I'll call it a trade. This new trade is that, like, whenever I've had something removed from my body, I'm like, can I have it? You know
they're
what I mean?
Like, no.
No, they won't let you take it. And they're like, well, you know, it's
like hazardous or something,
it's
right?
Hazardous. It has to be disposed of in the proper way. Like, because I've seen people, like, get their tonsils. Like my grandmother had, like, a little aspirin jar full of her gallstones that she kept in her china cabinet.
That's wild. I don't think I've ever seen that, like, in person. I don't think anyone I know has ever kept anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have teeth. I mean, like, teeth are kind of normal to keep. But, and I've seen people that have their tonsils in, like, in a little jar that are preserved. And, like I said, my grandmother's gallstones. But, like, you know, I kind of want, like, why can't we keep it? Like, it's mine. Why can't I have it? And then they won't let you have it because it's a biohazard. But, so what type of licensing did they have to get for this profession?
The
company like even has a name. Hold on, wait.
Is there some sort of legal document? I mean, I'm sure there is.
Save My Ink Forever.
I'm sure there
is.
I'm sure there is a bunch of legal stuff.
And did they have to patent something in order to like do a technique? Did they have to prove that it worked in order to get the licensing to do it? And then did they like preserve animal skins and say like, here's how we do this. Like, what was the trial and error? Has this been like a technology? It's like, no, everybody knows how to preserve human skin really well and tattoos so that, you know, they're aesthetic and can be mounted in a frame and won't rot and degrade over time. We've known this forever. Like, is this like an existing like technique, technology that's been around forever that is used, or is it something that Save My Ink Forever has developed? Did they do trial and error?
Right.
Did they have some shitty ones where they were like, damn? And that, like, are they like, okay, what's your favorite tattoo? What's your second favorite tattoo? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
are
different people's skin reacting differently to the preservation process? Like, these are the things that I get excited about when reading this. I just want to know about the whole process. And apparently it takes like 90 days. Also, like, curing time, right? Because when you cure leather, it takes time. So they're doing a turnaround in 90 days for the skin. And so you have to wait a few months. So then also, like, where are they doing this? Do they have to have a special license?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel
like
probably...
a bunch of skin just going
probably
around?
At first you're doing some, you know, you're kind of not doing... You kind of got to do things a little bit on the fly. But yeah. I bet eventually you get into it where you have to have... Exactly, license.
But I think that this isn't the type of thing that you can even do on the fly, because I think legally speaking, because it's biohazard and you're cutting up humans and you're carrying them around, like, probably you have to, like, put some proof out there that you can actually deliver on this.
Yeah, I guess that's
like
true.
Can anybody just go chop skin off of a dead body and take it home with them?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So I'm just saying the whole process is interesting. And then she also said that the people, like, when you think about it this way, it's not like you can, like, okay, I'm gonna cut their tattoo off and send it to these people so they can preserve it. Like, you can't just, like, do that. So they have to, like, come to the body. So you have to want to have the tattoo preserved, have the right person come to the body, travel to the body, get the skin, and then they have to travel back to wherever they're going to preserve it. So, like, I don't think you could, like, fly on a plane, cut some skin off, and then, you know, put that in your carry-on and, like, have this. Oh, it's my ice bucket with skin in it. Like, do you have to ice it? I guess not, because the body's not on ice. Anyway,
there's a lot of questions,
Sarah. A lot of questions.
But you're saying you want to get into this line of work.
I'm seeing this. It sounds like a good job. Sounds like a good job. I feel like I would be okay with it.
I mean,
I think I could go up to a dead body, cut its tattoo off, preserve it, and mount it in an aesthetic way. Like, I feel like it would be, it's an important job because you only have one shot. You can't fuck it up.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you got to be like a surgeon. You know what I mean? You got to do it right.
Hey,
honestly, I'm willing to stand up to it. Hire me. I will go to your body. I will cut your tattoos off. I will preserve them.
Honestly, as I've certainly said before, I think really the professional calling that you missed out on, especially watching the Rex Heuermann series, is a detective. I mean, you're really good at, you're good at noticing things. You're good at detail stuff. You're good at, like, you would be really good at, like,
good at,
wait a minute,
inquisitive,
why, how,
for sure.
if like this person was killed here, this person, or, you know, this person must have been killed somewhere else and brought here because of X, Y, and Z. Like, you would be, you're very observant.
That's true. It's true. I like to sleuth out what you've done
and
during
I feel
the day
like you're
based,
like,
on the crumb pattern in the apartment.
You're saying
I can sleuth it out. Yeah, I can usually sleuth out what's going on.
Exactly.
What's gone down that day.
Or, like, I feel like you would be not only observant, not only good at following clues, but also, you know, you latch on and you would, like, you wouldn't rest.
Oh, yeah.
Until
you
it
got
solved.
A lot of focus. That's true.
Right.
Now, I think that, okay, so the cutting off tattoos and preserving them sounds fun. And important. Detective does sound fun, but also sounds like a time commitment that I don't know if I'm willing to have.
Well, luckily, this is not really an option right now.
Like,
I'm just
the thing
saying
that I think I miss my calling on doing is being an injector. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, you've definitely said this before, because you have... Because you would just shoot stuff in someone's face without any...
remorse. I don't care. Yeah, it's... I have a high tolerance for gross
obviously,
things.
Visceral
things, body things, they don't faze me at
all.
All
these things line up with stuff that you would be good at.
And so I think that I wouldn't have a problem. Like, I think that I have a good eye for aesthetics and fine detail work. And that I think that I wouldn't mind. I don't mind needles. I wouldn't mind injecting people. And I wouldn't mind if it hurt them.
Right,
I wouldn't want to hurt them. Hurting them wouldn't be my goal.
Sure.
But I think I could push through.
You'd be okay.
I think I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
If they're like, ow, and I'd be like, oh, your pain, you knew this would hurt. You're fine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just from having a lot of dental things and shots over the years and allergy shots and everything. I'm desensitized to it. I think it'd be great. Anyway.
You're insensitive.
Insensitive.
Yeah. So no, I think these are just lying, but you know, hey, I think being a pornographic electronic artist and podcaster suits you down to the ground.
Oh, thank you. That's
running
grateful.
A label suits you down to the ground.
Yeah. And you know, one day they will have DIY, injectables and,
do they, or do they not? Is that a thing?
You have to be licensed.
I mean, you do.
Well, no, I mean, you don't. Yes. Okay. Look, most things can be DIY'd, just the legality of it varies. You know what I mean? Just like we could probably DIY cutting somebody's tattoo off. Like, are they going to inspect everybody? Who's going to report it, you know, and not have to, like, do it the legal
right,
route?
Right.
Like, can you get black market injectables? I mean, people have been doing it forever. Just like the botched stories you see of people injecting silicone caulking into their asses.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, we knew people who did free... What were they doing? I can't remember what the substance was, but I remember in Kentucky knowing some guys who were putting it in their ass. And just free form. And it was wild.
Not
free floating, some sort of silicone or something. Some filler. It was, I don't know. I think they just called it filler. But it doesn't mean it's good, and it doesn't mean it's legal, and it doesn't mean it won't hurt you down the line.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, underground espionage listeners, I am not going to recommend you do that. I know you were sitting here thinking about doing it. Don't do it.
Don't DIY it.
Don't.
I don't know. I don't even know. I've never had it done, but I feel like I've watched enough videos.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could.
Is there
do
a
it
video game yet where it's like you're a plastic surgeon? Like, I mean, feel like there would have to
be, know,
right? I don't
know. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
That seems like a fun
like
video game where somebody comes in for a consult and you get to, like, ch-ch-ch-ch, do
madness.
It. That would be really fun. Let's make it happen. Hey, we actually know video game developers. I'm going to pitch. I'm going to pitch. Going to add that to my new professions
let's
list. Sorry.
Do it.
Well, you know what? This is a great time to discuss this gorgeous film from 1981, the Indonesian classic Mystics in Bali.
Yes, this is a classic, primarily known for the images of the head floating around with the intestines and entrails hanging from it. And boy, that sure happens a lot in this movie.
And thank goodness that it does, because it's quite remarkable, and it's what inspired us to watch it. But that head with the entrails still attached and flying around is actually the Layak, a mythological figure that is present in traditional folklore of Bali.
Well, yeah. So this movie is actually based in,
on a true story.
Yes, exactly. And so it's the Layak magic, a form of black magic from Bali. Tara, you have some info on this, and really it shows, like, this movie is as unhinged and wild as it is.
It
does
is based
depict
on,
this.
Yeah. Traditional Balinese folklore.
In a more, you know, in a correct way.
So the Layak are literally the flying heads, and they're said to fly around trying to find a pregnant woman in order to suck the blood of the newborn child.
And that does happen in this
and
movie.
And that does happen in this movie. And it's very, when it happens in this movie, it's very strange because it's the child is, like, in the process of being born, and so it looks wildly sexual. It doesn't look like the baby is being sucked.
Well,
if you
we'll
know
get
what I
to
mean.
It.
But whatever, we get there. And there are three legendary Layak. There are two females and one male. In the beginning of this film, we see those, like, really amazing masks with
it's so cool.
The creatures with the tusks and the extensive tongues.
Yeah, the opening credits are just awesome, and you can this movie is definitely you can watch this pretty easily through the technological means of the
just Google
World
it.
Wide Web.
Yeah, exactly. Just Google it. It's easy to find. It's out there. Yeah, so in the opening, being unfamiliar prior to trying to find out what the Layak are, trying to figure out how to spell Layak.
Just let it happen.
So it's L-E-Y-A-K. If you want to read more about it, that's how you're going to, you know, it took a while to nail that spelling. You know what I mean? But, you know, I initially thought it was a dragon and it was some sort of dragon ceremony, but the tusks and the really long tongue are actually characteristics for these Layak creatures who practice black magic and are cannibals. The queen of the Layak is Rangda. I don't know. I'm saying it wrong. Like, that's okay. Tara, I'm saying it wrong. Tara, I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
You've been forgiven.
You know what I mean? I know I'm sweating now. Okay, her mask is kept in the village death temple, and during the temple festivals, she is paraded about in her beautiful masks. Besides Layaks, demons are said to be the followers of Rangda. So how amazing is that? They are said to haunt graveyards, feed on corpses, have the power to change themselves into animals such as pigs, and they can fly. In normal Layak form, they're said to have unusually long tongues and large fangs. In daylight, they appear as an ordinary human, but at night, their head and entrails break loose from their body and they fly around.
And all of this happens in this movie.
Yeah, all of those things
happen
in this
movie. And depicted in this wild, low-budget type way, made in Indonesia, the dubbing, English dubbing here. All of it adds to the insanity of the movie. The main chick in the movie not being an actress.
She was like a German tourist who the director convinced to be part of the film.
Well, Tara, do you want to give a summary of the plot? Or would you like me to give a summary of the plot?
I mean, I think it's a very simple tale.
Well, it's very simple. I mean,
do you want
to? You know what? How about I do it?
Why don't you do it?
Our leading lady is wanting to write a book on the Layak, and she's written one on the black magic voodoo in Africa.
Yep.
And wants to write a book on the Layak. Or she's doing a book about black magic in general and is combining all of it. I can't remember that. But she has studied black magic.
We don't need to get bogged Africa. Down in the details.
And so she wants our main guy to introduce her to a Layak, and so she can write this book. He sure does that, and she sure turns into a Layak, and insanity and unhinged cinema ensues.
That's right.
How'd I do?
You did great.
Thanks.
You did great. Yeah. Like, can you, I think the question of the film that we're going to answer at the end is, like, can you, just out of a scholastic curiosity, dabble in the dark arts and come out on the other side?
Well, Tara, let's get into it.
So, as you said, our main dude, his name is Hendra, which
that's
I like
right.
the name Hendra. That's an idea. And Hendra does say, Catherine, I'm surprised that a pretty girl like you is interested in black magic. And boy, aren't we all. I love that Hendra wears different American t-shirts. Like, he's wearing a Notre Dame
property
Dame
of
t-shirt.
Notre Dame Athletic Department.
So what a fantastic shirt choice. But every one of his shirts is like more exciting than the last. They have wonderful slogans. They're great. His gorgeous mane of hair and mustache just thrill me endlessly.
He's rocking it. He's got it on. He's got it going on.
He does. He reminds me of those like early posters of like, it's like he saw one of those early posters of Prince, you know, when Prince had like the big like blown out hairstyle.
When you were shouting at Lionel Richie as well.
Oh, and he straight up looks like Lionel Richie many times. Yeah, he's laying down on the bed and he is giving Lionel Richie so hard, like you know when Lionel Richie is like hello, that Lionel Richie, God, what a sexual man. So we have that, and I'm saying. In my notes. His notes are all over the place, much like the film.
I mean, I think that's the way you have to do it with this film, because it is, again, as all over the place it is, as you've read, it actually, there's a reason for how it goes. Yeah.
You know, I got a little sidetracked when taking notes about how the Indonesian waters are scary. Like, they're kind of like wading around in a swamp at one point. And like, I don't think they have crocodiles.
I mean, look.
But certainly snakes.
It definitely.
Certainly many types of snakes. And I would not want to be in that murky, murky swamp.
You know how, you know, giallo movies a lot of times make us want to go back to Italy. You know, Godzilla and Japanese movies make us want to go back to Japan.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if this makes me want to go to Bali now. I see, like, pictures from, like, Christian Olsen, like, his trips to, like,
yeah,
to like
amazing.
Thailand and
yeah.
all these weird little, like these death tours they take with, like, these depictions of hell and these statues, like, it kind of makes me want to go. But then at the same time, I'm sort of like, I'm good seeing the pictures. And like, this movie is sort of like that, where it's like, there's some cool ruins. They look pretty cool. But then you start thinking about the snakes. You start thinking about the brush.
Like, I would
you start
love thinking about see, you like, getting temples. I would be so itchy.
Yeah, you start thinking about that. So,
it doesn't feel like a place where there's a lot of air conditioning. All you know things. What I mean? So I'm not, I don't get the sense.
I think I'm
going to
go ahead and take this movie as like, I'm going to, if I want to go to there, I'm going to watch this movie.
I'll just watch this instead. Because yeah, I feel like it'd be sweaty. I feel like it'd be itchy. And I feel sweaty and itchy. I mean, I think that's enough. And dangerous at times, because I feel like there would be a lot of like spiders and snakes.
And liac.
And I've been, and I'm fine with spiders and snakes. Flying, I like spiders and snakes, but I'm not like.
But flying floating heads too. Kara.
Yeah, flying floating heads. You know, I take that back. I don't want to talk shit about snakes. I love snakes. I get excited when I see a snake. I just don't. I don't like being in the water with them. And I've had snakes swim past me in the lake waters of Kentucky, and it's not a great feeling.
No, I'm with you.
It's not a great feeling. They're fast, boy. Anyway, so this movie just kicks right in, right? You know what I mean? Like, bam.
Go
to a ceremony.
You see
the Layak. You see the Layak mask. Beautiful opener. This broad's like, Hendra, hook me up. And he's like, I got you, babe. And apparently he broke up with his girlfriend for this broad, like, when that happened, too. Like, pretty instantaneously.
He's like, eh.
That was a plot line they kind of hinted at later. And I like that they didn't spend too much time, like, over-explaining that. They got
we just got right into it.
So, I mean, I think the really important thing to know is when they go to the Layak, Ragda, whatever. I'm not going to call her. We'll call her the Black Witch. How about that? The Head Witch. Of the black arts, I see your eyebrows.
No, I like it. My eyebrows go up because I'm gearing up to hear your impression.
The most important thing to know about this witch is that she comes from like the crypt keeper field of delivery.
So go ahead and lean back.
Oh, yeah, I got to lean back pretty far so I don't blow out anybody's eardrums. But I think we can do a pretty accurate.
You were very good at it.
We've been cackling like this. It comes naturally to me. We've been cackling like this ever since we saw this film.
So you're going to hear this a lot in the movie. Yes.
I hope that wasn't too loud.
I was amazing. And you literally, that is something you're going to hear.
It's pretty darn
for
accurate.
Much of the 90-minute runtime.
And then the witch says, let's go, pretty, or the ghost will get mad.
So good.
Yeah, and then they go like flying around.
And she's definitely, just very grotesque looking with the super, super long fingernails.
And
or is it long fingers? Hard to tell.
She's so cool because it's the. As Hendra describes it, she has terrible laughter, and the laugh can kill, and she possesses the most terrifying forms of magic. And as the witch explains, every time you see her, her face will change during each appearance. And she has these like long, gruesome fingernails and wants to shake Catherine's hand. So they make an oath and an agreement to dive into the world, the apprenticeship of the black
and our
magic
girl just
dark
signed,
our strongest magic.
She just signed her head over to this witch.
Yeah, and then her arm fell off. And then her arm fell off. And
the witch's arm
fell
off.
And then
yes.
We heard like, and then we heard that again. So, and I did say, gonna be Crypt Keeper laughing a bunch now. And I was not wrong. We have been Crypt Keeper. We did not, you know what? I'm pretty proud of us. When we were out in public yesterday, we did not Crypt Keeper
we
laugh.
We did not.
That was great of us.
Here's the thing.
I commend us. I salute us.
I really think we kept everything at a perfect level.
So like,
you know
we
what I mean?
Kept it in like Layak daytime form,
yeah.
Not Layak nighttime form.
Yeah.
We were kind of
we
like having
here.
A long tongue. We had fangs on, but we didn't like pop our own heads off.
We
go
kept
flying
it,
around
we
the
kept
night
it
getting
pretty
wild.
Cool.
Yeah, we didn't post.
Always a good sign.
Always good. Didn't message anybody. I did text a friend.
But that was okay. You were good. You were good.
Okay.
It wasn't like it.
Hopefully not annoying.
That's the thing is you don't want to be annoying.
I don't want to be annoying.
And I don't think you were.
Yeah, but I do have an annoying text style. Anybody, you want to text with me? Here's what you're going to get. I don't like doing a long paragraph. I like doing like 50 little texts. I like, you know, I write a sentence and I just like it that way better. I don't want to do a whole paragraph because I feel like I'm typing forever. So some people get annoyed when they hear the bing, 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 you know, and they're like, God, I get like 50 texts, but it's just like, you know, a little bit.
You're good. No,
I think we both text that way, but I prefer that.
You're good, and I think you are not annoying texting. I think the text receiver was appreciating your text.
Oh, I think so. Well, they were entertaining. I think they were entertaining.
I hope so. But I'm saying...
Underground espionage. Listeners, let's text. You got any memes? Got any weird pictures?
As a storyline that goes through underground espionage in our lives, we're constantly like battling the, are we scathed when we're recording? How were we the night before?
I know, we sound like maniacs.
Especially any non-drinking listeners must be like, you guys are degenerates.
You suck. Yeah. I know. Well, sorry. You know what? It's true. But you know, I think that much like Catherine in Mystics and Bali, I'm just going to keep bringing it back. This is my new fun thing that I'm doing today. You know, we're out to have a good time. We're out to experience new things. I don't remember what I was going to say at the beginning.
You're killing it. You're doing great.
But you know, we want to dabble in the darkness.
Yes.
We want to peer over to the other side. We want to know what it feels like. And you know, we can talk about
look at danger and we laugh our heads off. And literally, heads are laughed off.
Heads are laughed off. So, I do enjoy the magic as it's presented in this. Like the head witch takes a bunch of jewels with on a sticky tongue, and you have to like pick the jewels off of a sticky tongue, or the jewels get eaten off the sticky tongue, and the tongue like comes from like,
yeah, that part's crazy, you know. It's like in the bushes,
yeah,
and it's like 20
feet away, the tongue just slithers over,
crazy like looking, you know, tongue comes out of the bushes and is like grabbing it, this scene is just
okay
wild.
Now I've got it straight in my mind. The scene here, yes, this is what happens. She hears the voice of the witch. She's alone in a weird swampy allergy field where everybody's probably covered in hives after being there, and then she lays down the jewels and the tongue slithers over and slips the jewels away, and then she brings the blood as requested, and she brings all these bottles, and I'm like, these are like different vintages of blood, because she has like,
yeah, she
like
brings
wine,
a bunch
water
of different
bottles
blood.
Filled with blood, and you're also like, Catherine, girl, where'd you get this blood?
She doesn't
really explain where she got the blood.
I do. That's one thing I like of the movie. It just cuts to things like quickly. It's like, come back the next night with all this blood for me.
She's like, check, like, got it.
Then like next night's here and all this blood. It's never.
And the witch is like, you got to get me more blood. She's like, yeah. No. Can do.
Yeah, there's no explanation of where
jewels.
That blood has
okay.
been gotten. Yeah, I'll get you these jewels.
We
can
get
some
jewels.
Blood.
Well, we know where to get jewels. The lady across the street.
Yes,
every time
true.
We walk by, she was like, buy the lady some jewels.
Yeah.
I love her energy, but I don't need any jewels. I don't know
if I love her energy.
It's kind of, she has like a unhinged energy that I enjoy.
Like
look,
this movie.
I don't know. I enjoy her presence. I like that she says jewels a lot. And I like that the witch wants jewels. And I like that they present different vintages of blood. And then she has to write something on Catherine's skin. And she asks her to pull back her skirt. She's wearing a cool bikini. And she does, secret magic words.
Like a sigil.
I mean,
burned onto her skin. So it's like she's just already in it.
And she's like, no problem. And then they give her magical underwear. She gives her a toppy. And then she has to wear a toppy and then a bati. Forgot to look that up. I got distracted because then somebody said the word mumbo jumbo and it made me excited because I want to bring that back. Like, just like I like the word terrific when people are like terrific. And then I want to say mumbo jumbo.
Mumbo
jumbo.
What's this mumbo jumbo all about?
What is mumbo jumbo? Isn't that a bad word? I thought it was fun. You know, so we have the sacred underwear. We have the
sigil burned onto her thigh.
We have a magical cloth emblazoned with magical writing, which is looking like it's the size of a wash rag when it's handed over, and then later when Hendra pulls it out, it's like the size of a bed sheet.
Hey, magic,
it's fucking magical, everybody. Like, that's what we're here for.
Yes.
I mean, we're not here for not magic things, you know what I mean?
We're watching Mystics in Bali.
Mystics in Bali is not like a Scooby-Doo moment where they're like, it was done with smoke and mirrors.
It's
like,
all real.
These heads are flying off. It's great. I did say that this movie makes my hands hurt, and it does, because everybody has the amazing, like,
Oh, they're doing
Indonesian
the dancing
dance.
Yeah,
with the
you can picture
the perfect fingers and the hands, you know, poised back, the wrists bent, the fingers extended. It really hurts. It really makes my hands hurt. Now, when we get the next night,
you got a hive just talking about hives?
I might need a pause.
Let's do a pause and go get that court.
Oh.
And yeah, we look, I think.
You know what?
I think the LEAC heard you, and I think they heard you talking about, you know, getting hives going into the brush, and it was just a little. And like, you get a hive.
You got hives on your heels. Yeah, I mean, I can see why somebody, like, if they were like, you know, the best way to fight itchiness is to get into black magic. I'd be like,
you're like, maybe
I might.
But you were saying
that
this makes your hands hurt because of
the gorgeous
movement
of the
dancing.
Hands, yes,
and I think anyone can picture.
Yes. And then so we have the offering of the blood. We have the cool tongue. And like, so that was the second form that we see. Then we get another form where the witch comes to meet Catherine as she's growing in her journey. She's wearing her magical garments. She is emblazoned with her sigil or whatever the magical words are. And then we get to see this awesome scene, which I did not see it coming, when they decide that they can turn into pigs. She said, you can turn into anything you want.
This
and when
is
she says that,
nuts. It's disgusting.
So gross.
It's very disturbing looking. Mm-hmm. It's very off-putting and ugly.
Yeah, it's like a fat suit piggy.
Wild.
Like the weird, like the transition into the pig. Like I loved seeing these little cute pigs. But the transition into it was really, really gross. It was awesome. It's not gloopy gross. It's more, it's just body horror gross.
I don't even know what it's. Yeah, it's very. Ugh.
Because
yeah.
Truly, like, I do think the effects as they are used in this film
are really good. I mean, especially for probably whatever this small budget was.
Considering
right?
what it is, I think that the witch is effective looking in all incarnations. Even down to the tongue, you know, the way it's moving against the dark night is pretty mesmerizing. I enjoy that. The swine transformation, like doing the like close cuts, showing small portions. It's really, I think it's really effective.
I mean,
and it's really
it
good.
Reminds
it's
me of
jarring.
More of a low budget, more grotesque. That's what this the pig transformation is grotesque. But just in general, a more low budget, more grotesque vibe that like the yokai movies have in a way, but this is like way more grotesque and way more like non-stop. Like,
yeah, this is very yokai,
except
however
more in the black magic and more grotesque,
and it's dark.
Yeah,
like,
way
truly
darker.
It's dark.
yeah
And it also made me think, oh, that's a good question, do you think kids still talk in pig Latin? Is pig Latin a lost language, much like Latin at this point?
Probably.
Ude idz ke octe ene ig Latin pay.
Probably.
That was fun. You know, fun trick, everybody. If you have a friend and English is not their first language, you can usually trick them by speaking in pig Latin. We used to do it with all the, like when my friends were French and then they could understand whatever I said in English, and I got to the point where I'm like, oh, I don't want them to understand me. I would just speak in pig Latin, and it really baffled them. It was great.
That's funny.
I know. It's fun. So good trick to use if you know the old pig Latin and you want to be sneaky. Who doesn't want to be sneaky?
So our girl turns into a pig at this point, and then it does actually turn. It is actually just a regular pig at a certain point. It goes from this grotesque transformation into an actual.
And then they
pig.
Kind of run around, but the pigs are great. They're really cute. And then we meet a new character, which you know, we have these two pairs of. I mean, Catherine's now a full-on witch, and they're kind of terrorizing the town now. So
yes, they are.
We have to meet.
We need somebody to stop this.
Hendra's uncle. And Hendra's uncle is really cool. He has perfected Trisandi and other mantras after he was early in life attacked by a Liak witch. And so he is trying to teach his nephew how to fend off their evil and possibly save his friend. Now, at this point, though, Catherine has mastered the art of telepathy. And that's when Hendra said, I don't think you can come back. And she says, I'll be the same old girl that you used to know.
I don't think it's going to happen, Catherine. I think you've gone too far.
Well, she doesn't think she has, and she's like, I'm done. I swear off black magic right now. I'm not going to do it anymore. But I am going to lie down and go to sleep. And what happens?
Sarah?
The witch says the head must be borrowed to achieve total power. So what does the witch do?
Rips her head right off.
Makes her head float off, well, and then has her go suck the blood out of a baby.
And this is where it gets wild, and you think that's the only time it's going to happen? No. This flying head is now a permanent part of the movie. And when it, for a lot of the scenes, it's this strange video
effects. This is when the weird video effects take place.
And, and when you get the up close with her face actually moving, it's like video on video. Mm-hmm. But then when it's far away, it's like a mannequin head floating around.
And you just get the impression that it's a fishing pole with a mannequin head on it and somebody's holding it and the pole just kind of swinging it around.
But it's totally, it is crazy, and it is just that moment of like, oh, this is like
A floating head with guts attached.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really exciting when you see it happen. You're like, oh my God, this is a floating head with guts attached. And you don't think that the floating head with guts attached is going to go flying around. And then this woman who's like in labor with a baby, and then she just, like, the floating head just goes down on her. And you don't know what's happening.
Sucks out the baby because her stomach keeps getting
smaller. Suck that baby out.
So, like, literally, you don't see that coming.
I said the head sucked that baby out. Yeah.
You don't see
the head suck that baby out. You don't see it coming. And then they explain that, Hendra explains that they needed new blood. But then we have Catherine get her head back, and then she falls back onto the grass, starts flicking her tongue, and then turns into an anaconda.
Yeah. It's cool this too. All, so,
and then when she wakes up the next morning, she starts puking up white mice.
Yeah.
Out of green. And they're real mice. And that one's actually gross because, like, green is like a lovely, like, think like Jell-O mold green, you know, Nickelodeon green slime green. And then starts like puking up the white mice because she was an anaconda the night before, Mike, or some sort of python the night before. And so she ate a lot of mice, and then she got to puke them up.
Yeah, I mean, saying this movie just continues the ramp up and continues throwing just crazy images, grotesque images at you.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Now, they talk about the black magic being a poison in their society. And then I was trying to decide if I should discuss the overall lesson now and then we can wrap it up, or should I save the overall lesson?
I mean, I think save it because, you know, we got to get to the final battle, which it takes place for like over, you know, really the end, you know, the long period at the end of the movie is when they're battling, and then you get these great effects that reminded me like of Bloodbeat, like the shooting the lasers out, you know what I mean? Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Video effects. So
you get these great video, you know, I love the early 80s.
Yeah.
You know, those effects just always look so great.
And then we have Hendra's uncle that's going to pair off with the witch. So we have the final scene where Catherine has sworn off. It's not the final scene, but the ramp up, right? Catherine says she's not going to practice black magic anymore, but she has no choice in that.
Doesn't matter. She's a full-on Liak.
She's a full-on Liak. So now her head is taken off. Her head's being controlled, swung around, made to do evil things. And then Hendra's uncle has to intervene because they're terrorizing this town. And he says that the black magic is not poison in their society and it's ruining their village. So
and
he
Catherine
takes
is Satan's prisoner.
Yeah, Satan's prisoner. And then he takes some skewers and he puts them in the neck stump so that the head can't land. He's like, well, you're going to fly around like a crazy demon head all night? I don't need you shape-shifting anymore. So he puts some like skewers in the top so that the head can't attach to the body again.
Yeah, in Kevin's room, there's just the headless body. And he puts skewers in the stump. Yeah, it's great.
Because he can't have the witch
takes him out with her
mouth. Only one of them, she didn't get all of them out. But we can't have that witch regain full power, because if the both of them have full black magic power, Mike, then they're going to be young forever and they're going to be unstoppable.
That's
both going to be beautiful and evil, and they're going to terrorize this town. So we can't do it. Skewer neck sounds nice. That's right, Tara. So she's Satan's prisoner. Hendra, this is peak Lionel Richie looking Hendra. And now we have the face-off that is like the balls of fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say that each ball of fire represents a soul. And so if a ball of fire is destroyed, then a soul has been destroyed. So, and early on, Catherine saw a ball of fire being destroyed. Mike, was that her own soul?
And she's like, did I murder somebody? And Hendra's like, yeah, you probably did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then all of a sudden, during this peak fight time, the chick that Hendra left to be with Catherine just kind of shows up and wants to have a witch fight.
Yeah, and she gets killed.
Yeah, and she gets killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a lot of death in this and a lot of bad outcomes for most of the people in this movie.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of things. Oh shit. And then so during the final fight, the pig again, shifting into the pig.
But then it's really fighting giant... as like the human pig doesn't really end up going into the natural pig form. So it's just this grotesque human pig battling it out.
And I was saying, does this pig only have two boobs? And then no, it had six boobs. Anatomically correct boobs of a pig. It's unpleasant. I love it. It's great. It's gruesome. It's gruesome. It's nice. I love gore.
It looks like the Liak are going to win. Hendra's uncle's down.
Mm-hmm. Hendra's uncle's...
But...
he got blown up.
Who comes back from the dead to win the final battle? Hendra's dad.
Yeah.
Comes back.
The greatest of them all. I wrote down the name, but I think I spelled it phonetically, but I don't know. Egayoka.
Comes back and the battle continues. And what's great too, this is not one of those movies where like Catherine is like, once the witch is defeated, she's like back to normal. No, she just is like, she dies. Yeah.
So what they do is the men folk engage the witches until the crow of dawn, and they're caught out in the sun and they shrivel up and die in the heat of the sun. And also Catherine's head was unable to reconnect. So that's a wrap on that one. So,
it's a wrap. And what a wild, wild movie. A classic, unhinged movie. And our first foray into even talking about anything from Indonesia or some of this stranger Asian horror. I mean, there's so much. It's such a crazy world.
But I'm glad we did this one. This was really great. Because it fits right into, like, it does fit into yokai.
And like you said,
a low-budget thriller.
It's based on a true story.
It's based on a true story. Now,
so Tara,
after watching this, I'm just going to read what I wrote. And here's the lesson I learned. The lesson I learned. There are some things in life that you can't take back. You can't be a little evil and you can't sell half of your soul. I don't know if it's true, but for real, there are things that can't be taken back and shouldn't be taken lightly. She wanted to dabble in darkness, but without understanding the price that she would pay. The balance, the yin, the yang. The scales are tipped and you can't laugh it off. The system will quake and the equilibrium will find itself.
Absolutely. And that is something that we've certainly talked about just in life. But when you put it in the perspective, especially in context of this movie, just that idea of sometimes there's things you can't take back.
Yeah.
And just in life, mm-hmm. sometimes there's words you can't take back. Sometimes
you
there's
say
actions
something,
you can't
it can't
take
be
back.
Unsaid.
So, you know, more so than words, actions, you know, like I think words can sometimes be, you know,
we all understand.
It's
that.
More the actions that can't be taken.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yes, I agree with you. But there are some words that are said in the heat of passion and everybody understands that somebody didn't mean them. But they also burrow into your head and you won't forget them. Like when people have said something to you that they didn't mean, it's still hard to forget that and shake it off.
Totally.
However, yes, in actions also in this film, like she's getting into something as a lark, right? Trying to understand the black magic, but also she's trying to understand black magic, like by nature. And like, I enjoy that in this film, it's like taken seriously. Like she's like,
I'm
going to be doing something that's evil. And I want to understand this evil black magic that kills people and torments people. And it's like, you don't think that you're going to pay a price for that. And that's something that you're not going to have to pay, let's say in the weight of your conscience or in the weight of your soul, you just want to play around with it and think it's cute, but you're not willing to pay the true price of what it is, and that is that you become evil.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, you can't half-ass it. Like if you dabble in it, it can take you over.
Yeah. And I think that you know, it's not like some cautionary tale of magic, but it is always something that, like,
I think it is.
Well, it's a cautionary tale of magic, but it's just understanding. Everybody's had that moment where something happens and you're like, oh shit, everything's different now. You know what I mean? Like in a car accident, you're like, now this is a thing now. You know, like
I'm
when
dealing
you see
with this now.
Now this is going to be, you know, something that I'm going to be dealing with for a while. And when those moments like flash before you, like if anybody's ever like had a narrow escape from like cutting yourself badly, or even like times when we needed stitches or, you know, things of that nature. And you're just like, yep, the feeling is hard to describe unless you've been in that situation. And if you have, you know it, you're just like, everything's different now.
Or dealing with like,
that's
for
permanent.
You,
yeah.
What about dealing with like knowing you're going to have a major surgery? I mean, what goes through your head having had done that a few times? You know, I have not. So like, especially the last one a few years ago, you know what, you're like, okay, when that moment comes, do you process it in a, or are you just sort of like just trying to get to, do you process it after, or do you process it while you're leading up to the, like, the surgery?
Or do
you
really,
do you remember?
Ever since like when they were throwing around the potential of me having things like a brain tumor. Remember when we were young, in our 20s, in our early 20s, they were like, oh, you may have a brain tumor.
Yeah.
You may have to have your head shaved. You may have to have exploratory surgery.
Yeah, very early on, yeah.
All of these things being thrown around, which were crazy. And I'm just like, I don't know why they would have just been like, maybe we should do this and tell somebody that that's on the table and make them think that they're dying when they're not.
Yeah. Like, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just totally scaring the shit out of people. Like, that's when I developed an intense distrust for doctors after going through that, because they were willing to do exploratory brain surgery on me because they didn't know what was wrong with me. So it's like that, after being through that, I kind of take everything with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I don't want to like take it lightly, but I just kind of go with whatever is dealt, because, you know, after all of the worrying I did and trying to be proactive about health, like, I don't know if it helped me out in the end. So now I just kind of, I'm grateful for every day. I'm grateful for the health I have. I'm grateful for the healthy moments. And then going into that type of stuff, I figure it's out of my hands. I don't really worry about it. I just kind of relax.
Yeah,
because
even with that,
you know,
last surgery, you know, obviously you're the one having to do it, but obviously we're dealing with it together.
Yeah.
And I think the relief of getting a surgery scheduled was sort of like,
and showing
okay.
up. Yeah, showing up is like, it's like when you get your car parked before a gig and you have all your things loaded in and you're like, shit, okay, the gear's loaded in. I have a parking space.
But
like everything else is good.
Do you like have moments of just like worry before that? Or is it just like you know it's going to go fine, and then maybe like after it happens, like, oh, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That kind of how you process it?
Yeah. Yeah, I just assume it's more stressful for you because you have to like sit there. I think it's harder for the people around you than it is for you. And like, you know, just regulating the pain is kind of like what I've always focused on. Like, oh, just knowing that your pain is temporary and trying not to be an asshole when you're in pain is the hardest part, because you want to be mean to people, but you can't.
Right.
Well, you can, but I don't want to. I don't want to be a different person just because I feel physical.
Well, and we always say, as strange as it may sound, is anytime these things happen, and that one was more of a emergency thing, whereas some other ones have been planned, there's been a combination with you, but I always do feel that you talk about moments that change, this is what made me think like, oh, now everything's different now. Like, we always do that. Is something happens when these things happen to us, because we deal with these situations through either, you know, we were podcasting, but that was also really when Yellow Gaslamps really got fully underway.
Yeah.
The ideas for eroticism were coming up. The ideas for initiation services were starting to bubble during that time. And so in a lot of ways, that's when we're faced with that kind of stuff.
Well, just like we started clay rendering right after hand surgery.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So clay rendering started from surgery. So we end up dealing with it in this way of like putting that energy into something else, because you have these moments of like, well, this is happening. I can either be bummed and dwell on it, or I can take this opportunity to just, you know, we end up hitting a new zone in our trajectory, whether or not it's new projects, whether or not it's podcasting, et cetera.
Well, I think it makes you feel the push of time, you know, and not wanting to waste a moment or waste an idea. And I say waste, it just, I mean, it's not a waste. Like what we did yesterday, some would see as a waste.
No.
But it's like just taking the opportunity to do the things that you may have put off or you may want to do. It just encourages you to do
that.
As
we always say, reading, watching a movie, listening to stuff, that's never a waste, especially if you're curating your stuff to things that are going to then, you know, put your brain in this, in a different, you know, you it mindset. Send your brain into a different mindset. Yeah. So well, to me, it's never watching Mystics in Bali, watching the Maltese Falcon like we did this week, watching,
good.
You know, Bloodstained Shadow last week. We watched it again. I threw it on again. I'm like, I just want to be back in Bloodstained Shadow. Watched it again. To me, that's never a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Death Carries a Cane. All the stuff you, that's never a waste of time because it always, you can always put it in through the creative lens or just garners conversations. That's what I always say. Like yesterday, I would say going out, we could have stayed in the whole day and done and achieved whatever. Like we drank at home, and those are always fun too.
That's order
what
to, food,
that's
do
what
whatever.
Today we're doing. Today's we're staying at home. But when you go out, even when it's just the two of us, like it is right here, I find we just have different conversations and then come up with different ideas or have different, you know, something that we then relay here on the podcast. So it's like, as I always say, everything we do always goes back into either, you know, music or the podcast. So I don't think I never think doing anything is a waste of time if it is leading into something else creative. It's never a waste of time. It's reading, listening, watching, et cetera.
I mean, that's where, and those moments are where, like, the ideas are born, you know?
Absolutely. And sometimes
I was happy I got to give you my book report on Mia Farrow that I had been
reading
about.
That was great. I thought we'd maybe talk about it. Maybe next week we'll do that. Was really good.
Yeah.
But also, yeah.
I read a lot about Mia Farrow and Soon Lee.
Soon Yi.
Yi.
But even like so many titles and stuff end up coming from something you almost forget where they came from.
Yes.
From like watching that movie or like that conversation we had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we always come up with titles from that. You know what I mean? And a lot of times happens when we're out. The extra titles for your eroticism tracks on the CD came from us being out somewhere and we were just having a conversation.
So it's like how ideas are born in the shower because that's where your quiet's happening and your brain gets a chance to focus.
I don't think, you know, I like to think that, I'm not saying that, you know, that you can't also do things I'm obviously a big believer in end of the night shutting down. But our shutting down recently has been watching Alfred Hitchcock Presents, which is really good.
It's so good.
That's great. We love Black and White because it takes you into the past in the great
and
way.
The pacing of those are quick, and I find that unlike other things that we've watched, like sometimes when we watch like a Twilight Zone at the end of the night and it's like 55 minutes, then I want to stay awake. Outer Limits.
There's a season or two of Twilight Zone that were longer, most are shorter, but
when they're longer I want to stay awake and see what happens, and
but
it
with
kind
Alfred
of prolongs
Hitchcock,
it
just
and
sort
I get
of like,
engaged. Yeah, the pacing is perfect. You're just like, yeah, it's great.
You're in and out. No,
yes,
it is
and great. There's nothing startling. It's great. It's perfect.
Great vibe. But yeah, so that's where we have been at. We've been to Bali. We've been to the past with Alfred Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to the past with the Maltese Falcon, you know?
Yeah. Been to Italy. Did we talk about the Maltese Falcon?
No, because that was...
It was so good.
Yeah.
Like we just kind of threw it on. We're like, we want to watch another...
It was when we watched Death Carries a Cane and we wanted to just kind of watch another, you know, mystery murder story, but not a giallo. And then you were like, let's watch Maltese Falcon. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah. And it really...
And I've been reading a lot of like that era
mystery
stuff, Raymond Chandler. So I was like, in the zone.
But I think it stands up to the hype. Like, I really think it does.
Absolutely.
It's
incredible.
Super intriguing. The characters are amazing. I love the way the story is crafted. Like, really just all around, like, perfect execution. Like even the shots are fantastic. Like the black and white, the lighting just really pops. Like it feels like a modern movie just in the way that it, in the way in the pacing and the way that it's shot. Like it was truly like ahead of its time. I can understand why there's so much hype around it.
Fantastic. Well, great conversation today, Tara. Maybe we'll watch something cool. Couple cool things I'm thinking. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And like we said, maybe won't have one next week, but we also might. So just you know what to do. Yeah. You'll see. You'll yeah, see. You'll see you the old podcast like, pop up.
If you want to sell your soul to a witch, just know you might not get it back.
And just know you're going to be laughing your head off. We'll talk to you soon.